I'd like to ask a question. Why are we here tonight? To be more specific, I'm going to ask the question, why am I here tonight? I'm here because there is too much evidence that God is, and that He's in control of our physical world and His rulers and in nature itself. I believe in God. It's undeniable. I believe that the Word of God is in the Bible. Every word that is in the Bible is God's inspired word. I believe that it has been preserved for us down through the ages, ever since it was first written down. It's God's will, and that He has revealed it to men, and they have written it down so that we may know what it is that God wants us to know. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. He was with God in the beginning, and He created all things. In 1 John 1 and 1, we read, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, the Scriptures tell us, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God spoke words and the world came into being. I believe that God created all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. All things visible and all things invisible He created. And we read about this in Genesis chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. Then in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43, is the reading that we had this morning and also this evening. And it's been read in your presence, but I want to call your attention to verse 38. "God appointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power." In verse 39, it says, "We," and that's Peter who was writing this, "we and the rest of the apostles are witnesses of all things which He did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging Him on a tree." Verse 40, "Him God raised on the third day and showed Him openly." Verse 42, "And He commanded us," that's the apostles, "to preach to the people, to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Therefore, I believe that the inspired writers conveyed the message of the gospel that was committed to faithful men. And this was done for the purpose that they might pass it along to others." Paul, an apostle, wrote in Timothy, or to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2, "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I believe that faithful men teach today. And we know that their message is from God by careful searching of the Scriptures to see if their teaching is from the Scriptures. The Bereans did this, and we find a record of this in Acts chapter 17, and beginning in verse 10. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word in all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so it's possible that we, listening to faithful men, can determine if their message is correct by faithfully searching the Scriptures to determine if these things are so. I believe that the Christians of the first century gathered on the first day of the week to remember Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. In Acts chapter 20, and 7 rather, and verse 20, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Part of their remembering was to participate in the Lord's Supper and hear a message from the gospel. Number 7, I have these all numbered, and we're down to number 7 already. I believe that singing and praying were part of their worship and remembering Jesus. Paul instructs them in the worship and in spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is the conclusion then? This is after he's talking to them about the spiritual gifts and how that they were to conduct themselves in the assembly and the worship. He says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Number 8, I believe that the saints laid by, they gave of their physical means on the first day of the week as they had been prospered. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and following, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Reason number 9, I believe that we have assembled for the primary purpose of eating the Lord's Supper. Just like the Christians of the first century, it doesn't matter whether we meet once each Lord's Day or whether we meet several times each Lord's Day. The primary purpose is to partake of the Lord's Supper. Some say this is not scriptural. Well, what does the Scripture teach us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul is scolding the brethren. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. He's setting them up here. He says, I praise you that you remember me and all the things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. So he's delivered these traditions to them, these teachings he's delivered. Then on down in the chapter in verse 17, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, this is important, it sets the scene. When you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who approve may be recognized among you. Verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. This is the emphasis he's putting on it. When you come together in one place, when the church has come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. and he is scolding them and reprimanding them for this. Verse 21 says, "For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk." When did the church come together? Well, they came together, as we saw in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the first day of the week. What does the scripture teach that they did in worship? They sang, they prayed, they gave of their means, they ate the Lord's Supper, it was in his memory, and they heard preaching. How many times did they do this on the Lord's Day? We're not told. But I can imagine during the persecution of the Christians, when the Roman government had come to power and the Christians were being persecuted, and the number of Christians that were in the city there being above several thousands, and in Jerusalem also being over 5,000, 3,000, 5,000 at different occasions were there, that when this persecution came about and they assembled for the Lord's Day services, 3,000 or 4,000 people didn't all march to a congregation someplace without the authorities being in the know about it, and they were being persecuted for assembling. And so therefore they may have had a continual assembly of people coming in at different times and different places. I'm saying this in speculation. It's not anywhere recorded in the scripture, although it is talked about by those in secular writings, that they met in caves and catacombs, and they did all of the things that they had to do in order to meet, in order to avoid persecution by the government. But they may have come together on a continual basis so that the members could all meet and partake of the Lord's Supper. What are we commanded to do on each first day, the Lord's Day? Partake, eat of the Lord's Supper in memory of our Savior. Is our Sunday, the first day of the worship, is our Sunday service without authority? The answer, of course, is no. Is our Sunday evening, first day of the week, second worship service without authority? Again, no. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Verse 27, "Therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." As often as you eat this bread. As often is nowhere defined as only on the first day of the week morning. Neither is it defined on the first day of the week afternoon or the first day of the week evening. Neither it is not defined as once a week, nor once a month, nor once a quarter, or once a year. But it is defined as upon the first day of the week when they came together to break bread. Each week has a first day. Christians are present this evening who, by raising their hands when asked if any wish to partake of the Lord's Supper, signified that they desired to partake. They raised their hands. When I consider the awesome responsibility to do all things in accordance with the Scripture, I would tremble should I say that they cannot partake. Whether they, through neglect, didn't make the morning service is something they'll have to answer to. If sleeping in after watching TV all night is more important than remembering Jesus and his sacrifice for us, then maybe they have received their reward. Conversely, if I were unable to assemble this morning at the church on the first day of the morning service, and I was present at the evening service and chose not to partake, and I speak for myself only on this, I would be getting my argument together to tell the righteous judge on judgment day as to why I didn't do what I was told, and that is to remember Jesus on the Lord's day. My 10th reason, and the last reason, for being here today is this is the place where Jesus promised to be with us when we assemble. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Not only is Jesus in the midst here with us, but his congregation of people in this locale are here. And there are none in this world that I'd rather be with than those of like precious faith as we have here. Belief, repentance, confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and baptism are the steps that you must take in order to be a Christian. After that, you must continue to strive to be faithful and obey his commands. I have given you reasons why I'm here tonight. Your reasons may be similar to mine. They may be exactly as mine. But if you're subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and we sing.